Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 10th on the West Coast, now March the 11th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and hope you enjoy tonight's show. We're going to talk about some rather spiritual things. It's becoming more evident that we've been on track on this show, and I hear many others actually on other talk shows who have recognized that we're really here on planet Earth and we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Whether you want to see it that way or not, those that would have you deny that you are a spiritual being are going to bombard you with stories, rumors, disinformation, propaganda, indoctrination, dogma, and outright lies as to what's really happening in the world and why what we're experiencing is occurring. This has been mankind's dilemma since he's been on planet Earth. And we're going to get into the true nature of man, the true nature of God, how you connect with God, and how we can change things, not through a political election, not through campaign promises, which have all turned out to be nothing more than exaggerations, at least, and outright lies at best. We will deal with truths. Tonight's guest will be with us shortly. Since we are going to be talking about spiritual matters, we should honor the spiritual nature of man. And in the words of a very wise music composer by the name of Aden Abez, who wrote a very interesting and very spiritual song, we're going to examine and contemplate the nature of man with his song, Nature Boy.
Very wise was he.
Nature Boy. Very wise lyrics there. Very true lyrics written by Aidan Abez back in 1948. And that song was first made famous by none other than the renowned Nat King Cole. That, of course, was George Benson. Well, hopefully that took you a bit outside the box and got you centered in your heart. It's a good place to be with tonight's guest because he's somewhat of an expert on that issue. He's devoted his life to studying matters of the heart and our connection with our Creator and many, many other things. He hosts a website called zeropoint.ca. That's spelled out zero, not the numeral, but the word. ZeroPoint.ca, and he hosts a show every other Saturday on BBSRadio.com. The show is called Zero Point, and I invite back a forensic and clinical psychologist and metaphysician and author, my good friend Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Christopher, are you with us?
Yeah, I am, Don. I hope my phone's not going to be buzzing and making too much noise. It seems to come and go a little bit.
Well, right now it sounds excellent. So,
good.
Okay. If we feel any buzzing, it'll be the vibrations of your wisdom. How are you, my friend?
Okay. Down a bit. Sometimes it just all seems a bit overwhelming and just the magnitude of what's been done and the situation in the world is a little overwhelming at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe by chance I picked the right topic for tonight's show. We have not discussed what we're going to talk about, but certainly I do want to talk about our relationship with the Creator and our true nature, because remembering that is the key to dispelling this disappointment or anguish or depression or a bit downness that we feel. And I'm sure you agree with that. It's been a preoccupation with me all day long. And I was talking to a friend earlier this evening alluding to the fact that I say my nightly prayers, and I got an answer to prayer in an email from a friend, and I trust that this friend meant well, and the impact was an answer to the prayer. the message that came through my prayer, as well as the follow-up message that I got. And it was just a reminder of the power that we have as human beings, as children of God. We're here to experience the wonders of the creation so that we can move onward to higher realms. And, of course, that's not the focus of existence here. And it's acknowledged by the Creator that this is a very evil place. Historically, it has been. It's been the domain of the devil. It was decreed his domain. But that doesn't mean that he should rule this domain for all of eternity. In fact, we are here to change that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Sorry, I didn't hear your last sentence.
Now, we are getting that buzzing a little bit, but it seems to be intermittent. So,
are you getting that interference there, Don?
Yes, a little bit. It sort of sounds like your phone has a zipper.
I'm sorry. Here it's drowning you out so much I can't even hear what you're saying. But
okay. What I was saying is, it sounds like your phone has a zipper.
Oh, dear.
Well, I think we're going to try another method to bring you on a different way. Seth is going to try that. So in the meantime, I'll give a public service announcement here. Yes, Seth, go ahead and try that, and we'll see if we can make this work another way here. This happens sometimes. We're going to get into a very spiritual discussion, and the demons and trolls out there become a bit agitated and want to interfere with the energies. That's that's common. So hopefully now we have Christopher back with us again. You want to try again, Christopher? Oh, I guess we're ringing him. I just heard the... Okay, so we're making that attempt. And you can hear evidence of that in the ring.
Hello?
Okay. Now, do we have you back, Christopher?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that sounds better. I went around the house unplugging all the other phones. Yeah.
All right. Yes, it is clear. Okay. I don't know how much of what I said you heard, but basically I was
I didn't hear the answer to your prayer that came in an email from your friend.
Oh, okay. Well, I had basically a conversation with God last night, okay? And I expected an answer, but I didn't expect it in an email. And yet the email contained a continued message, if you will, an explanation. And this person really didn't intend to send me what was sent for the purpose of answering a prayer. They just happened to send that email. And that got me looking into a few things and contemplating some things. And it sort of cleared the fog, for lack of a better phrase. And I began seeing the power that we have to actually make change, not as promised to us politically by politicians campaigning for an office, especially a usurper, but real meaningful change, because we come to a realization of our true power. We're made in the image of God. And that is a different quantity and a different quality in each individual until they rise to the level to where they become fully conscious of what that is. So we sort of have to, you know, those of us who are teaching or sharing information sort of have to take it upon ourselves that we're going to open people's hearts and teach them how to think through the heart rather than through the mind games, you know, the manipulation of thought patterns and the blocking of the life force and the higher energies and the higher vibrations that connect us with that which we can't see because of our physical state or the state of our health or even our mental state. So I was wondering if you wanted to make a general comment on that as in terms of, you know, how you feel and acknowledging what you know in that regard.
Yeah, it certainly remains a mystery to me. And it's interesting because I write about these subjects. I write about higher states of consciousness and kind of the higher dimensional metaphysics of human existence. So I write about these issues, and I don't understand myself experiences I've had which seem to demonstrate to me having such powers at one point. But I've never been able to ascertain whether the things I thought I was really able to affect was in fact so, or whether it was just all within my mind. It was just after I awoke to all what was going on in the world, because I was pretty naive through most of my life until about 5 years ago. At least aware of what was happening politically. And I, at one point, I became convinced that there was going to be a false flag nuclear event in Ottawa. I was absolutely sure it was, and I knew the day it was. It was like 2 weeks hence from when I had this realization. And I went through this period of, like, not being a madman, but being crazed in sense of getting my place all ready for it and preparing for it. And I even dug a bomb shelter in the basement, because it was a small cottage-like house. And I went through, the first time ever I tried to do actual white magic, which I'd never previously tried to do, because although I study occultism, I've never been interested in the practical magic and ritual aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first time I did, because I felt so this imminent threat, and I was so distraught about what I foresaw as happening. And it was a remarkable period of time. Yes. And it passed by. There was no nuclear bomb or anything, so I didn't know if somehow I'd been able to affect the whole process and what didn't unfold. It was very peculiar, but I went through a period of time in there. That was a period of time where I felt I could calm the winds and influence the weather. I felt I could put my mind places. It was like I could almost see into the world of the Satanists, see into their realm, and I felt the kind of fury to drive those demons back into their underworld.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of, it was a very unusual period in my life, and it took several years to kind of come down gradually to, you know, continue on and kind of integrate that into my life. So a lot of what happened to me, I don't know if it was really true what was happening or whether it was just I wasn't psychotic, but whether it was just an illusion or delusion, and there were many things that seemed to happen that confirmed my impressions of what I'd been able to effect.
Yes.
I've heard sometimes said of magic is defined as making things happen in conformity with will.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely, it has.
And it's like your letter. You ask a prayer, and you kind of put it out there. And it's not that you bring about the result, but the result is brought about. Like, that's magic, because your prayer is answered, even though it's not in the way directly in the way you might have thought of it being affected.
Yeah. If I can say so, to me, what I hear, and you're mirroring my own experience and probably many people in our listening audience this evening who have felt something was going to happen, it's quite possible that you and others had felt the same thing simultaneously and had affected a change. It could have been me behind it. You never know. I have participated in stopping or preventing certain events from happening. When I say participated, I'm one of many who have affected a change. What is wrong with us using our God-given gifts, our God-given powers, to declare what we would choose for our reality? Is that a sin to do that? And where do man's laws usurp the Creator's laws, the laws of the universe? Where? It's unnatural for that to occur. So it's only natural for you to respond to what you felt. Maybe you had some fear. Maybe the act of creating this safe place for yourself caused the fear to dissipate. Maybe it was such a traumatic event for you that you realized how important it was. And in a sense, you began remembering your inner power, your higher power, your connection to the source.
Well,
that's the whole point.
Certainly how I felt. Like I was so empowered during that period of time. And at times it was fearful, but it also went through a period of rapture and bliss. Like it was unbelievable. Like as I kind of started waking up to everything happening and spending more and more time on the internet then, and it was like all these things were being revealed that I'd never known about, and even things through my own life. Like, mm-hmm. 30 years ago, I had a house north of Toronto by Canada's Wonderland, which is like a Walt Disney place there. And one Halloween, I'd looked out. I had a house on a hillside, so I could see for miles from my house over North Toronto. And I saw a circle of people with fires lit, standing in a circle. This was Halloween night, like a coven. And it was just down in the pasture field, just down from my house. And I thought, wow, like, what's going on there? And I started finding my way down to kind of sneak up on it and see what they were doing. And it wasn't far from my house, but when I arrived there, everybody was gone. And I thought, how is that possible? I kind of couldn't have lost sight of them for more than a second. And that had remained an enigma through my life. I'd never understood what happened there. And then during my period of awakening, I realized that I think in Canada there's a huge underground base north of Toronto under the area by Wonderland, and it's by the Maple Dump, just where I lived in there, and where they did satanic sacrifices and other evidences came out. So it was like this incident that had happened to me like 30 years ago, and I'd never understood it. And then I realized they had an underground base there, and I felt I could see into it. And I felt such wrath at the things that had I knew were going on in there, that part of my magic was to try to see into their underground realm and destroy it. Like I felt the wrath. I when I woke up, I experienced the wrath of God, which I'd never known, because as a Christian, I'd always been brought up. I'm a very peaceful, loving person rather than bad-tempered and so on. And it was the first time I ever understood that kind of wrathful nature of God with the sinfulness of humankind, like where he, you know, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, or he flooded the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and like stories like that. And I felt that wrath of God, and I just felt
And through my magic, it was like I felt that I might have damaged their underground base in Maple and one close to my house outside of Ottawa. So it was like, you know, very unusual experiences. And one doesn't know. I just don't know what to make of them. And yeah.
If I can comment, I have something that I'd like to say first about this word magic, because I think the way most people look at it is a series of movements or events that perform or result in a trick, making things disappear and reappear, and usually taken as entertainment. But you're speaking more of influencing the course of events through the use of, you could say, mysterious or supernatural forces. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean dark forces. There is black magic or white magic, and those are just terms for opposites. But my experience tells me, and I know many others who agree with this, that when you are living right, and when you are living from the heart center, and you're not perfect, you're making mistakes. We're all making mistakes. But the point is to learn from our experience to add our fractured or our fractal aspect of who we are and our beingness to the whole of creation. And when we do that, automatically, then things appear to happen magically. We can't necessarily explain it, but the power is within us to do that, and we have to recognize it and put it to use in a state of being. We become that individual. Rather than the individual reacting to things being done to us, we create our reality. And every one of us does it in our own way. Your reality is different from mine, although we can agree on many things. We can agree on the level of corruption and the level of evil and murder and destruction and perversion and psychopathy and all these things that we talk about when you're on the show. We can agree on that exists. Does that have to remain the norm? Well, if we do nothing about it, it will. That's what I'm saying here. So there is a pathway. And your writing, your work, keeps reminding us of where we go to establish that. So in your case, Christopher, and I don't mean to sound like I'm analyzing you. I'm not the psychologist here, nor a psychiatrist. But this, I'm familiar with this territory, and we all go through this. What makes you feel depressed is that you've lost the connection, or you're not in tune with the connection. You might be one or two hertz below or above it, and just not focused on it. And again, that's a matter of faith. That's a matter of putting it into motion, putting it into emotion as well. You see? Am I making that clear?
Yeah, different thoughts to respond a bit.
Sure.
At the time of that, I just read Volume 3 of Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine, which is kind of a rare book, and the thing that had really stood out to me was her distinction between white and black magic. And in theosophy, like Blavatsky was very against ritual or any kind of magic, but she defined magic as always in service of a person's ego or self. So people would try to effect magic to have sexual powers or to acquire money or different types of manipulation, but it's always selfishly self-centered. So that would be how she defined black magic. And at the time, what I came across was her defining white magic, which she defined in terms of asking God to bring down someone else's karma upon them, so that you wouldn't, like, say, I wouldn't try personally, like, I remember a story Gurdjieff said that, like, a man could kill a yak at 20 miles, okay, like, stop its heart. Okay, well, suppose someone had that kind of black occult power. Well, maybe we could just pick off Henry Kissinger one night, you know, George Bush, you know, David Rockefeller, you know, and act on these people. But see, for that to come from egoic self, that would be black magic, and that would be immoral. But in a way, through my practice, it was trying to bring the higher will, like beseeching God to manifest his will on earth as it is in heaven. And I would be often repeating the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth. And I would try to reach to the heavens and ask God to bring his will down. And I would bring it down to the floor, and I would touch the floor and to manifest, like, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's not myself then trying to, you know, pick off and victimize these people, but rather just beseeching the Lord to bring their karma down upon themselves.
That's where the faith comes in, you see, because what's to prevent God from honoring another's prayer to do the same to you, you see? Kissinger praying to God that you be destroyed. You see?
Yeah, well, it's not even, I'm not even asking that they be destroyed, but just that their karma be brought down upon themselves, as I would be willing to have towards myself, but I haven't accumulated a lot of bad karma compared to the horrendous things these people have done.
I think something as simple as requesting that the veil be lifted so that their karma can be seen, you see, that can be hidden from no one or no thing, nothing. And in that respect, it all becomes Kissinger's karma. And I'm just using his name because you used it.
Yeah, yeah.
It has that hiss in it, you know, that I don't like.
That snake, little snakes on the, yeah. So that was one, you know. And I still try, you know, in my prayers. I mean, prayers are a form of white magic. You know, they're asking God to intervene and to help us and to help affect change. You know, and I think all of us praying, that is an important part of what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, in a way, this is so beyond ourselves as normal, ordinary human beings. Mm-hmm. You know, we need the higher help from the higher powers within ourselves or those beings on other planes who can help us. Or as you speak of sometimes, it is like not aliens, but other space inhabitors,
or
you know, within our solar system.
Our brothers and sisters and cousins who are visiting us,
yeah,
from other realms, maybe more advanced, maybe more spiritual. But why are they here? They're showing us that we are all part of the whole, you see, and that's always been mankind's downfall, or the system on the earth. It's been the downfall because Satan was given this dispensation to rule this domain, but not eternally. Not eternally. This is the message that's coming through. You know, not to move away from what you said about Blavatsky, but you've written this. You've discovered this in Gurdjieff's writings, in his teachings, and the same truth comes through. You defined, or let's say Gurdjieff defined man as an individual or an individuation of the creation, seeking consciousness, seeking the realization of the soul, being or earning of the soul is how he put it. And you wrote about that. And what came through at the end of my prayer last night was that there's a very large percentage of beings on this planet who historically have come here. They have been let's say, procreated or created in a laboratory and through DNA testing and manipulation and cloning and alchemy that have been created and have been deprived of a soul. And this is why the depravity of spirituality is so great at this time. This is why things are so chaotic, that they're willing to risk blowing this place up to smithereens just to take whatever else beyond that they can. In other words, if we can't maintain this horrific prison planet existence and call the shots and have everything for ourselves to the detriment of anything else created by the God of the universe. In other words, if we can't be God, no God can be of this place. We will destroy it. And that is what I constantly refer to as the inevitable outcome that does not have to occur. All we have to do is wake up and come to an awareness of who we are. Now, that's a tall order in a sense. But I can tell you that if we don't begin doing that and approaching it systematically in an open way, in a way of appreciation and anticipation that it will occur, we won't change things. That's a given. Why should God give us the opportunity to do that through the experience of life and come here and bail us out? That's the message. That's what God said to me last night. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I thought about this, I felt all day long like this is a topic for the show tonight. This is what we have to talk about. That's real. That's something that's not disinformation. That's not propaganda. Every person in their own way can find who they are step by step. And you wrote about that.
Yeah.
So would you comment on that? Am I making any sense in what I'm saying?
Well, I believe that we do have to attain our soul, that in a way it's not simply given to people, but Gurdjieff would talk about how we have to coat the higher being bodies for the life of the soul. And if a person doesn't attain these bodies, then you don't persist long after death. So we do, and the process of awakening, like Gurdjieff talks about how most people were in a state of sleep. We're like sleepwalkers, automatons, and we're so heavily conditioned by our past and our environment. And so we haven't grown in our essence. Gurdjieff distinguishes between our personality versus our essence. And our essence is what we are in our being, whereas our personality is acquired from outside of ourselves through the culture and media and so on. So most people in their life, they develop the personality at the expense of their essence. Mm-hmm. And then the Gurdjieff describes like awakening is like breaking down the false personality and getting back to your essence, like becoming as children again, like getting back into your essence to allow a new growth of your essence.
Yes.
I strongly believe these things. And I mean, it's only through having this kind of understanding that's given me strength through the last years to stay in this and do whatever I can do to try to help in terms of the world situation, contributing in whatever way I could do. It was also at the time, it was amazing because to me, it seemed a revelation that it was all going to be done by 2012. But my envisioning of how it's going to be done, I try to argue for the worldwide criminal prosecution of the world elites for their crimes against humanity and the seizure of their assets worldwide. Like if we could really apply the anti-terrorist legislation of countries around the world, because it's now people are waking up, they're realizing, my God, all these terrible things that have been done, all based on lies.
You know, I think in a way 9/11, the lies of 9/11 are now so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And that in a way that the whole thing comes undone from that. Like if you just took 9/11 and seized the culprits behind that, and the whole thing would come undone and like a ball of yarn, and all these people would be revealed for their crimes against people of the world. And if this were really done and we could actually seize their assets, well, then indeed we would have a new age. We'd have such abundance and new innovations in our society and improved health care and longevity. All the problems of humankind for the past centuries have been created by these people intentionally. The wars, the poverty, the, you know, diseases. I mean, it's been astonishing. We've never known life free from these people and their controlling influence.
Yes. Now, if I can comment on what you said, because
please,
you touched upon a couple of things. Okay, we have this paradigm. We have the true essence of who we are, which is to be discovered or to be remembered, because really it's in us. The problem we have is not that it's not there or it's not available to us, but that we haven't recognized that it's there, or we have faltered in the process of trying to get it. In other words, we want someone to give it to us. We don't choose to earn it. You see, that is the gift of life, is to create the experience and to tailor it according to the individual will of each being on the planet. That's what free will is about. The paradigm of that is this false personality, the egocentric, false, illusory self that they have us focused on intentionally, so we do not recognize who we are, you see. We're forced to comply. They create laws that we have to follow to keep us in that opposite polarity, you see. And it's all available to us. Now, in terms of what you've described and what the potential outcomes would be in changing the system, I strongly feel that we should denounce those who are doing this and renounce what they've done, or denounce what they've done and renounce those who are doing it. Both words apply on both sides of their equation. And that's taking action, you see. That's taking positive action. You mentioned the past. I played recently some clips from Jay Krishnamurti, and he talked about the I being dealt with or being acknowledged or recognized in the sense of the ego is living in the past. How can you change the present or anticipate what the future would be, when in reality they're all part of the same continuum? How can you address that if you keep doing it from the standpoint of the false self, or from the starting point? Point A is the false self. Where are you going to go unless you recognize that there is a real self within you, and it's connected to all of the creation, it's connected to nature, it's connected to space and the planets and the stars, the suns, the moons, and even in a way, it's connected to all the negativity, because it has to have that dichotomy to exist, to recognize itself in what is good. So it becomes a matter of understanding that we are truly part of the creation. And so we are, by transitive property, we're connected to the Creator. Now, isn't everything we're experiencing today going counter the creation? Isn't it an attempt to destroy what has been created?
Well, I think that's definitely been their aim, has been to destroy that feeling in people of our being connected to the divine or the sacred in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they in a way have controlled human beings through their lower centers and people's kind of natural greed or desire for wealth and their sexuality and the desire for power. So they've controlled people in every way they can, brought them into the lower centers and tried to deride ideas about God, like, you know, the movement to try to show God is the opiate of the masses, or God is a infantile level of human reasoning, they would argue. And you have all this slate of new books out, you know, The God Delusion and books like that, trying to dismiss the idea of God and undermine religion. And they try to portray religions as the cause of this conflict in the life of humankind. Whereas it's not, it really, the cause of these problems have been these elites themselves, who have sown discord between religions to encourage animosity between religions. Just like in Egypt, we've had this new bombing of this Coptic Christian, or the murder of a Coptic priest, and when the Mossad agents ran out of the house, they said, "Oh, Akma," whatever it is that they're Muslim warriors supposed to say, and they did that screaming as they ran out of the church. But now it's like everybody's got their gains now. You know, we say, "Oh, there's a Mossad agent at it again." Mm-hmm. You know, and they sow discord between, you know, they bomb a Shia temple and blame it on the Sunnis, and they bomb a Sunni temple, blame it on the Shias, and everybody fights, and they sell arms to both sides, and I'm not sure.
They target journalists, they target talk show hosts, and then some are on the mainstream too. Some have been moved out of the way because they decided that they were going to take the high road and investigate financial corruption or the murder of someone who was about to testify before Congress. I mean, this goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it's kept out of the news, and we read about it on the internet, we hear about it, and we're outraged. Yet we're expecting these people who are in denial, who are not conscious, who maybe don't even have a soul, and I don't intend to sound judgmental. Let's just make an observation. You know, if I sense that a person is doing something that only a soulless being could do, orchestrate the murder of millions of people and profit from it financially, does it take a rocket scientist? And maybe that's not even the best example anymore, but does it take a genius to recognize that? Certainly not. Yet we turn away from these things, like maybe someone else will fix it on my behalf so I don't have to get out of my comfort level, okay? So I don't have to face this. But if your life is on the line, okay, and you knew that you had within you the very power to cause someone to drop a weapon that was about to be used against you, or to cause them to run in fear from you, you would take it a little bit more seriously, what we're talking about, because we're not talking about superficial or illusory power. We're talking about the true nature of who we are as human beings. Human beings. I can't save the soul of a person who doesn't have one. Neither can you. Neither can Blavatsky or Gurdjieff or Jesus. Okay? That person has got to decide for themselves that they're going to learn and know what they came here to do. Figure out why they're here. No one can do that for them. They can make suggestions, but
it is just a comment. I do believe that there are beings around who are soulless, and Blavatsky calls them shells sometimes. And I think that they have done a lot of different kinds of breathing experiments. So in a way, you know, mixing species and breeding things, which can be soulless. Like if they want an army of robots or automatons, soulless creatures, and And I think they've done that. And I think many of the population are losing their souls. Like, I don't believe everybody has a soul and everybody's going to live happily ever after in heaven. I think these are the times in which we earn our souls. And those of us who awaken to this, we have to abide in it. Like, this is our proving ground. You know, do we deserve to have a soul? You know, and then in a way, like, I feel we have to stand up for righteousness. We have to stand up for truth. We can't just do nothing and just, like, be concerned about, you know, looking after ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be reduced to that level. It, you know, this is a holy war.
Yeah.
In a sense, it is. It's a battle of righteousness to try to establish truth and justice on the planet.
Yeah.
So it is a holy war. Now, I would think it's likely gone, well, it has gone on for centuries, and I think it's likely we've played roles in this same war through different lives previously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not even a new thing for us. Because I really believe I believe in reincarnation and that we've likely had different lives through human history.
Well, you don't get it right the first time. You come back and you do it again.
and I think there's an evolution of our faculties through these different lives, that things we attain in one life we can carry over into another.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also soulless creatures who, I believe, can possess beings, even who are alive, but their soul growth is very minimal, so that they actually become possessed by beings who are in the astral plane and want to be able to be physical again.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting when I was in New Zealand, met this woman who is an elderly woman, like 60, 70 years old, and her husband at one point had a severe stroke or heart attack, I forget which. And she said after that, someone else came into his body, and she knew it was someone else. It was not him. And this other person was, they over time, they acknowledged it to each other, and her husband took over his body at times, and then at other points, this other person possessed his body. So I believe that's possible. I believe this account of this woman. So in this case, what was happening was there was a disembodied soul that was actually coming in and possessing this man's body. And mm-hmm. it began doing it when he was in a weakened condition. But she recognized it. Even the husband acknowledged it. And so it was a very interesting...
It's quite possible it was of a demonic nature. In fact, that's the nature of demons in an evil dimension or in an evil realm, if you want to call it that, because it transcends more than one dimension. We have a caller on the line, Christopher. We have a caller on the line, if you don't mind taking a call. We have Joe Schmo on the line. Joe, if you can keep it on topic.
Hello, you guys. Don, I hope I don't bother you too much. I called you and Dr. Ott the other day, and you guys seem to be hitting on topics that are very close to my heart. Christopher, I want you to know that I was in a hospital for a long time with a very badly broken spine and smashed pancreas, and I realized that all I have to do to make myself feel better when I'm in that place is to look down the hall a couple of doors and find somebody that's there that's in worse shape. Since August of this last year, my children have been taken. My tractor, my backhoe, my sawmill that I built with my own hands, my pickup truck, they want my home now. They have put me up on criminal charges. I'm facing maybe jail or fighting it now for months on end. So some people really do struggle, and some of us really do fight, and we suffer, as you said, Mr. Nikoloff, as targets. We're targeted. And you have been talking about being aware and doing something to fight back. And this is the struggle that I have had. Today I have spent a whole day filing a complaint or getting ready to file a complaint against individuals who are malicious and a sheriff's office and a county in northern Idaho who have been violating rights and causing harms and causing hurt and taking property without right.
Let me ask a simple question. We get the idea here. I don't want to take too much time with this.
Okay.
Did you file the complaint with the court, or did you file it with the creator?
I've been doing both, and I felt like that I need to trust in the arm of the Lord. And this, I'm not going to look for a lawyer. I'm going to trust in the arm of the Lord. And I'm going to fight these people all the way, as I have done in their courts and at the Attorney General's office. And this is what I wonder is, I keep having a feeling through my prayers and spirituality that I'm supposed to be patient and have faith. I don't know whether I am supposed to take my arguments and point them at other humans. I know not who's soulless and who is, who has a soul.
Well, you're defending yourself.
Defining myself, and I'm fighting, and this I also am hoping that you talk about the people becoming aware. We need to do more than just be aware. If only one of us fights, then we are targets. If more people fight, if we all fight, if we say enough is enough, I'm not going to live as part of your beast. I'm not going to be your slave anymore. Your lies, your poisons, your garbage, we're not taking it anymore. So I'm wondering, the methods, what are the methods? Is this the right to go down to the district court and file this and say I'm going to fight
well,
you guys?
That's the same as a physical assault on your being, one where someone is trying to kill you, someone who is attempting to take your free will away from you, your God-given free will, okay? Listen to what I'm saying, your God-given free will. This is not given by some pencil pusher or somebody wearing a black robe. This is given to you by the creator of the universe. You have that power within you. When you bring it alive and become that in your actions and in your thoughts and in your faith, the power and the words will come. You see?
Well, and I believe that. It says to meditate not what you will say, but the words will be put in your heart in that self-same hour. And so
well,
I'm wondering, is filing the complaint, is that the way we do it? Is that the way we stand up? Is that...
You have to stand up to the tyranny. It seems like you've been through a lot, and you're going to go through more if you don't take action and do something about it. Okay?
Retribution's going to be crazy with filing. But, yes, and... I'll get off the line.
I agree. I think we do need to fight them. Like in some instances, it might be better for a person to walk away from a situation, but in others, not. We need to be taking effective action, and this has come up to you. This is a way of your trying to oppose their agenda and expose them. So this has come to you as a way, a role you can play in this fight that we're all facing. I'd encourage you, when you go into court that day, don't stop breathing. You've got to maintain yourself, your sense of wholeness, by maintaining your breath. And when people get scared or fearful, they hold their breath, and then you don't speak from yourself.
And then you collapse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
They've hauled me out of courtrooms on a stretcher before.
So you've got to be in there and feel and come from the heart, and your words were inspired. The words will come will be revealed in your heart.
Yeah, this is sort of the same answer I gave you the last time, Joe. If you recall, I haven't wavered from that. You put your trust and your faith in God. God
That's
is going to recognize that.
Yeah.
You give the immensity of the problem to God, and God will put the words in your heart, okay? And they will come out your mouth. And okay. you'll be amazed yourself at how you handle the situation.
Well, the it isn't of me. It's of my Creator, and I am certain of that. And
you see, they fear the power, okay? This is why I have people slandering me and defaming me, why I have people plagiarizing my material and making false accusations. They attack me. What am I doing? I'm bringing out the truth. That's all I'm doing. I'm sharing the truth. I'm pointing people in the direction of the truth to find out who they are, to tell them what's going on, who's behind it. How they deal with it is their choice. I'm not forcing anybody. I'm not holding a gun to anyone's head. Am I? I'm giving people a choice. Okay? You have a choice. God gave you the right to have that choice. All your choices belong to you. They don't belong to another, and no one has a right to take those away from you.
I've just worried some that that we should turn the other cheek, and he without sin cast the first stone.
No, that sounds real nice, and in a spiritual sense, yeah. Don't feed it energy, but you have been attacked. You have been assaulted more than once. Okay.
And there's throwing the money changers out of the church, too. Like, I think, like you, Joe, you know, as I was trying to say before, I grew up as a Christian. I always kind of would have been, you know, not to be in a fight or such. But I think in this case, we need to stand up, for the cause of righteousness, for the cause of justice. And you know, I think the very manner in which we face these circumstances that we're in is what will make or break our attaining our soul. So, you know, if we cower in fear, then it just diminishes our soul life. And, you know, on the other side, we'll be asked, well, what did you do? Oh, that's all you were concerned about, just hoarding your money in gold.
What did you do
for your neighbor? You know, what did you do for your community?
Yeah, what have you done for yourself? And because you, in the greatest manifestation, in the most real manifestation of who you are, can do more for your family than anyone else. Okay.
Yeah.
It starts with you.
If I don't fight them, they're going to poison my kids to death.
Now, the whole world's hearing this show tonight. You heard in all over the world, and you heard on over 2,000 planets. Okay. We can ask very simply that people pray for a positive outcome.
I want my Creator to hear and have mercy and help me. You know, and I appreciate you guys' support. I'm going to get off the phone here, but
okay, you take care.
Really, thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Christopher, I don't know what else to say, but what I know and what my experience tells me, you know. Yes, I agree with what you said too. See, we can dwell on the things that they're doing, okay. We know enough about what they're doing to know that we don't like any of it. They feel they have a right to do it. What's wrong with us feeling a right or exercising our right to not go along with it?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be construed to be terrorism or to be anti this or anti that, you know. Yeah, anti corruption, yes. Anti evil, you know. Anti murder, and it doesn't just happen through wars. They do it through injections. They do it through the things they're spraying in the skies and the things they're dumping into the oceans and the rivers and the streams and the destruction of nature. It's all destruction. We don't have to tolerate it. How much of it do we need to see and experience until we realize that it's total insanity? You know, go ahead. I don't mean to.
I absolutely agree. I've seen enough. I know it totally is insane. And I, you know, I mean, I can't go back to normal life now. I can't, after waking up, I can't just go back and take a job and do mundane things. Like, you know, this has to be addressed. You know, this is a life and death issue. This is for the future of humankind. This is a turning point. You know, we may have come back many lives to arrive at this point, because I believe this is like an end time. But even though I believe it's going to turn in our favor. You know, when I worked in prisons, I mentioned before, I developed an approach to criminal offenders. It was called Awakening of Consciousness and the Heart in Criminal Offenders. And I guess it's like, in a way, I believe that these elites themselves, if we can awaken their consciousness and the heart, I think it will turn people from their ranks, and they'll realize what they've got involved in. Because a lot of people get involved, they don't really understand it until they get in too deeply, that they're afraid to get out or can't get out. I mean, I'm hoping that we turn people. Like, that's, I guess, in a way, what I try to do through my teaching about the spiritual dimensions of the human heart, is trying to change humankind, change people in their heart to experience remorse of conscience for the things they've been doing, and to change their ways, to turn. Like, why couldn't we have had some benefactors for humankind who wanted to have mercy and be good, spread goodness and help the people on the planet? Why did it have to be a group of psychopathic deviants? So I'm still hoping. I think we can take back our planet and have a new era, because we've never known life apart from the insidious influences of these people.
Mm-hmm. I've said on past shows, and you listen to my show on occasion, you're probably going to recall my saying that this is not the only place in the universe where evil exists. So yeah. How is evil being handled on a galactic scale? Well, it so happens that our brothers and sisters from space, who are visitors here, have the same concerns that the people on the planet do, that these people are, or these beings running the show here, are so evil that they'll try to kill them too.
Yeah.
That's a reality that's going on. You've heard me talk about it many times. It doesn't change because somebody wants to poo-poo it or call me nuts or call me crazy or whatever they want to say, or anyone else who talks about the topic. You know, we don't notice that they're telling us things that are absolutely ridiculous about what's going on in space and what they're discovering in comparison to what we know without them telling us anything.
Yeah.
You know, things that we've experienced, things that we've seen for ourselves. I can use myself as an example of what I know and what I've seen and the communications that I've had. So
yeah.
Does that make me a threat? Well, if there's an oppressive system that is counter to the creation, then in a sense, I am, and anyone else that trusts God or that knows God or his son, Jesus Christ, or what he taught. You see? These are the things that they're trying to destroy.
Yeah.
Why? Because they themselves, in their ego and their false identities, soulless beings, and probably don't even have hearts, okay? Or if they do, maybe they have two, like all other reptiles.
Oh, do reptiles have two hearts?
Many, many do, yes.
I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Okay. Wow. But they're not hearts that have the capacity to feel spirit.
No.
You know, they just plot about their merry way as if they're just carrying out an agenda and there are no consequences, or they'll never have to share any responsibility for their action. You already mentioned karma. You know, they cannot escape the laws of karma. They can keep trying to impose them upon us as if that's our lot in our reality here. They can keep trying to do that, all we have to say is enough. It's over. Now you are going to be held accountable for what you have done. And they will be the cause of their undoing. We won't have to do anything to them. We can simply declare that they get out of our way, that they leave, and do that with a spiritual authority that is within us, dying to get out and to become our true reality, see? So we can begin to discovering or remembering all the other gifts that we've been given. See, they got people thinking about the most meaningless things, watching television, worrying about which team is going to win a sporting event, or who's going to win a singing competition or a dance competition. And they don't give us much quality in any of that. They call it entertainment. Entertainment, something to distract us, something to focus our attention in a meaningless place. Now, the people that are millionaires because they pay them that money to keep them doing it, it's their way of saying thank you for doing our dirty work.
Yeah, and deceiving your fellow countrymen and all the, I mean, the media, it astonishes me, the media, how corrupted they are, how it's such a psychology of these people. Like, they're such pathological liars, and now they're being exposed. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say about it. It's just, if people sell their souls, these people, they lose their souls. I believe that. But I believe there are beings in hyperspace, like higher dimensional space, that can possess people's hearts. So a lot of these people, I think, are possessed by higher dimensional entities that possess them through their hearts.
The negative entities, I don't think they can gain access to the heart. I think it's got its own security system. The mind, they've created a mind heart. And everything they do is on imagery or sensory perception, you see, but not the true sensory perception, because the heart operates at a much higher frequency. Don't you agree?
Yes, but I mean, I think they can possess us in the heart, through the heart. But there's different levels of the heart. There's denser levels of the heart, and then there's the spiritual level of the heart. Like, I would see the heart, you know, as having a divine, spiritual, psychical, and physical nature that it extends through those dimensions. So these entities might possess someone through the psychical realms, the psychical level.
Yeah,
so the spiritual and divine aspect of the heart is still there, but the contact with it is lost.
Well, yes. They can interfere with it. I don't think they possess it. I think they can block it, which is, you know, why we have these mental constructs, you see? Imagery, you know. Thou shalt not worship idols, or thou shalt not place any idols before me. Okay. That's one of the 10 commandments, but they have American Idol, and you have to have an idol for this, sports idols. And they just create them as diversions. It's divide and conquer. And those that don't like sports, okay, you have sports idols, right? They call them, for children, role models. Where's there being a role model when you're dealing in drugs, shooting guns in nightclubs, being an alcoholic, beating your wife, beating your children, getting involved in murders, many of them do, fighting dogs. You know, and these people are forgiven, okay? They're pitting dogs against each other for the purpose of one killing the other, and it's a form of gambling. And that's okay. Well, the guy goes to prison for a couple of years, and he comes out, and everyone is praising this guy as a quarterback for a football team.
Yeah.
The insanity. of idol worship. So we have to recognize the methods that they use, and we've exposed this. We're talking about it right now. What's so hard to see about that? You put your faith in that. You can't put your faith in God or expect miracles. Oh, no, they have the Hail Mary pass, right? And they memorialize a Hail Mary pass. One that comes to mind is Doug Flutie's pass, last second pass into the end zone, and they win this football game. And this is the Hail Mary pass. They have to name the mother of Jesus as being
for a football pass.
It's now it's a Catholic pass. It's not a football pass. It's a Catholic pass. You see?
Yeah, it's astonishing. You know, we can get 20,000 to 50,000 to 70,000 people out to a game of men playing games with balls, but we can't get 20,000 people out at City Hall or in the state legislature. I mean, it's so outrageous. And it's exactly as you say, they've given people all these false idols, and that's disempowered people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also unnatural, and these aren't real people. They're played up as idols, but their lives are full of falsity, as you've illustrated.
Mm-hmm. I once heard an interview about I can't remember the specific topic, but there I think it was about Osama bin Laden, and somebody said. That Osama bin Laden was dead, and they said, "Oh no, if he was dead, we would have found him, and we would know that." And then the guest was obviously a CIA agent following the handbook on how you suppress someone who has scored points on mainstream media against the spin, okay, against the propaganda.
Yeah.
And then the guy said, we would have found him. We would know where the body was or where he was buried. And I suppose you're going to say George H.W. Bush was behind 9/11, too. He said something like that, like making this sound like it would be an outrageous comment to make such a statement.
Yeah.
When we know he had a lot to do with it, he wasn't the only one, but he had a lot to do with it. You see, and the numerology adds up to a 41 on that day. Is that just by chance? You know, we've talked about how they use black magic, how they use satanic rituals, and how much numerology plays a role. And if you study the numbers of the date, you can just about see who's behind it. I've done this with some of the events, the earlier World Trade Center events, and Oklahoma City, and the Bali nightclub bombing, you can see whose signature is on that by doing the numerology of the date that it occurred.
Yeah. Wow.
So the methods are right there before us. But we get all up in arms and emotional about the things that they tell us, which are lies. We know they lie. Why are they going to suddenly start telling us the truth? Now, not to change the subject, I got word that there is being reported on mainstream news that there was an 8.8 magnitude earthquake that occurred in Japan.
Wow.
Now, yesterday, according to the report I got, Seth is giving me this information, so if it's incorrect.
That just occurred now, Don?
Yesterday, they had a 7.3 and a 7.2 quake.
Wow.
Now, I haven't heard a lick about this, but of course, I haven't been watching mainstream media. It's disgusting. I've mentioned how it makes me want to vomit when I listen to them. But there is a lot of what hanky panky going on with a lot of the technology, and it's becoming international in nature. It's not just the U.S. government doing this with the HAARP system. The Russians have this capability, and I'm sure some other countries do too. And they probably rent it out. You know, pretty soon you'll be seeing TV commercials. You know, rent our HAARP system. Call in the next 15 minutes, and we'll give you 2-for-1. You know, it's, again, and they'll turn it into a disease, and eventually you'll have to get a vaccine against it. You know, that's the pattern. But
I hope that earthquake hasn't. I guess the other one was off the coast of Japan. I'm not sure there was too much damage from it. 8.8, wow, what a massive quake. I don't think I've ever heard of one being 8.8 that high.
That's just
that's like a God number, yeah. 8.8.
Yes, yes. I'm just reporting what
Seth is saying.
And now waves on the west coast of the United States are up 4 feet, and they're anticipating a tidal wave near or at Hawaii.
Wow. Really? Goodness.
So, you know, there's a lot of darkness that's going on.
Yeah.
Much more information and much more research has to be done to find out what the source is. You know, these used to be natural events, and they learned how to recreate these artificially using certain technologies. And that's a reality. And there is a struggle for control going on amongst the Illuminati families themselves. And they are merely agents for others that want to rule this earth. We've talked about that on many, many other shows. But that's not the whole point of this show. We have a connection with the creator of the universe. He is the reason we are here. And plus the fact that we chose to come here and to experience things. Now, if your cup of tea is having someone tell you everything that you can and cannot do throughout your entire existence, well, you know, all the power to you. I hope you enjoy that. And I can hope at the end of your life you can look back at that and see some accomplishment in having done that. But if you truly recognize what the purpose of life is and what your role is, what part you're to play in that, then you're going to look at it totally differently, and you're going to begin by taking action. And it's something that doesn't have to be given to you. It's there inside you now. That's what, you know, I've been wanting to say all day, Christopher.
Good. I'm glad that you had a chance to.
Do you feel as depressed as you did at the start of the show?
No. I don't. I mean, I must say, when I get depressed, in a way, I didn't use that word, actually. I felt down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's the time, winter's holding on here, and I'm needing to get out and start my gardens and mm-hmm. But it's like also, I never fall into a deep depression because I feel that inner blissfulness of the heart. And mm-hmm. in a way, that's always there.
Yeah.
So at times, like, if I attune to that, that's always there. So I don't go into depression. But Gurdjieff has a phrase, he says, sometimes that we can help to bear the sorrow of our endlessness. And I think sometimes that's a bit what I feel. It's just the sorrow for humankind, like all this unnecessary suffering around the world. And in a way, it's instead of just hiding from that and absorbing myself in a hockey game or something, it's like I try to stay in it. I feel for humankind. And that's, you know, at times that's hard in a way, the sorrow of our endlessness. So, but I do feel enlivened and encouraged too. It's neat to speak to a kindred soul like yourself, Don.
Well, I'm exuberant with this because I put it to work and I see the results, and it's been able to affect a lot of people today in a very positive way. And I think we all will find ourselves in situations like that. That's how the help that we're seeking is going to come about. It's going to come from within each one of us.
Yeah.
You know, if there's 10 of us sitting around a campfire and we're talking about all our problems and no one suggests any approach to a solution, can we really expect anything to change? Even if we talk about it changing, you know, without specifically identifying what has to be done or what has to occur to affect the change, we're in a state of just reaction. We're just reacting to things that are happening to us, and we need to be proactive. We need to be the creator of the new action. You see, because we can overthrow the financial system and replace it with nothing and still exist. You know, before there was money, how did people exist?
Yeah. You can also arrest all those bankers for their criminal racketeering and terrorist activities and pay off the United States debt in a year.
but see, the debt is implied that it's owed to the ones that have stolen it, you see? We have to wake up to that reality and see that the debt is not really there. If money is not real, there is no real debt, you see? The realization of that itself could be liberating. So then how would we build society? Well, we could build a reciprocal society. Some have suggested bartering. Well, if you take the word, you know, bartering sort of sounds like everybody's going to a flea market, trying to get the best price and, you know, well, my pickup truck is worth more than your riding lawnmower, so therefore you have to give me your desk and your pool table, you know. We have to look at the bare necessities of existence, food and water and clothing and shelter. Those are the primary things that we require. Now, how are we going to go about acquiring those things? What is your skill? How can your skill or your product or your service fulfill my needs, and what do I have to offer in return? That forces people to create a circumstance that might not exist. How does the person without work, without an income, without any savings, without any food or any home participate in this process? They have to have some talent, and they have to be given the opportunity to use it in a creative and constructive way, not in a destructive way.
Yeah.
You know,
and people have been so ill prepared for all this, say, through their educational system, which deliberately dummied them down, and the TV and the media, which is so mind numbing, and it's so filled with awful images and negative impressions, you know, violence and titillation. There's so little real in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry for people because, in a way, people, you know, it's been done to them, and in a way, they haven't had the chance. They haven't had those life circumstances in which they could have thrived, because I believe we all have these gifts in us, and you know, a lot of people haven't actualized those at all. But in a way, I'm saying it's not just their fault. It's also, you know, I mean, some people escape that, but that conditioning, like I would say I did in my life, you did in your life, you know.
Well, you know, we've talked about the corruption, okay? We've talked about the criminality. We've talked about the insanity, the psychopathy. These are the people that are posing as our leaders. Are those the leaders we deserve? You know,
yeah,
we have to face these questions and resolve the issues instead of allowing them to just keep existing. Well, they'll make us do this, or they'll make, well, that's how they've been getting away with it, because you haven't been making them do something, or we haven't been making them do something else, you see. And we're not asking for more corruption. We want an end to it.
Yeah. Okay?
We want honor and dignity and truth to prevail, and abundance. The hang up about money or a monetary system is a misapplication of the laws of cause and effect and the laws that govern abundance. The universe is an abundant place. Why is it Earth is a place of deprivation? See, we're allowing them to do this.
Yeah.
How long are we going to do that? Christopher, if I could, before you make any closing comments, I want to add another musical contribution here from Donny Hathaway. And this is a song called "Someday We'll All Be Free." This is a very prophetic piece of music. Listen to the words.
Take it from
You know, Christopher, Donny Hathaway named that album Extension of a Man. Extension of a Man. He's talking about expansion. He's talking about reaching out into the universe. And the whole album is filled with very inspirational songs that really take you outside the box. To think that he was doing this in the early 1970s is amazing. You know, soon it's going to be 40 years ago. And the lyrics still apply today, don't they? Mm-hmm. Well, would you like to make a closing comment?
Thank BBS. Thanks, Seth. We kept him on duty for a long time here. And thanks, Don, for having me back. And I continue to enjoy your show when I can. And I encourage your listeners, go to my website, zeropoint.ca, and The Heart Doctrine is my major book, and it's a very interesting book exploring this issue of the origin and nature of human consciousness, and how I say it originates out of the heart, whereas the science for the past century has suggested that consciousness is created by the mind or the brain in the head. So I think The Heart Doctrine is a very valuable book. I think it's part of the teaching that we've lacked in our society for the last century. Mm-hmm. And thanks again, Don, for having me back. And I'm back with you on the 20th, which is Tuesday.
22nd,
sorry, 2 weeks next Tuesday.
Yeah, that'll be Tuesday the 22nd. So
yeah,
I'm not broadcasting on Sunday. So
yeah.
Now your next show is which Saturday?
This coming? Not this Saturday, but the following one on the 19th.
Okay, the 19th. I encourage folks to tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 and the time slot for those.
Four Eastern. Four to six.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that'd be one to three on the West Coast then, or the left coast, as they call it. Well, your work resonated in my heart today just because of a series of events that occurred, and it was fortuitous that you were on the show tonight. It couldn't have happened at a better time.
Yeah, great.
And I thought of The Heart Doctrine, actually, when all this had occurred. And I'm leaving out a lot of details, but just trust me that it had a tremendous impact on me. And I know that anyone that reads your work and really studies it, you lay out the pathway to accomplishing this. And
yeah, it's valuable material. It really is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Christopher,
thanks, Don.
Thank you for your contribution. Stay on the line with me so we don't get a busy signal here as we go out.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish you a good night and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for helping us spread the truth of Evident Footprints around the world. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.